Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, and welcome to the Annual Performance Outcome Report webinar. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Adele Barr. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Melissa. Hello, and welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for the Annual Performance Outcome Report webinar. Yes, it's that time of year again. So today, during our time together, we will explore how to successfully complete the APOR for the period of January 1st, 2017, through December 31st, 2017. Again, my name is Adele Barr, and I will be leading today's session. So we'll go on to the next slide. Okay, so what are our objectives for today? After completing this training, you should be able to recognize your responsibilities regarding the APOR. You'll be able to accurately and completely answer each question on the report before submitting it. You'll be able to complete the questionnaire using SurveyMonkey. And finally, we'll talk about how you will be able to complete the security awareness training. So we'll go over to the APOR definition. Every EN is required to provide information each year to the ticket program manager on outcomes it achieved with respect to services it offered ticket holders. Some information provided in the APOR is used along with beneficiary satisfactory survey data to populate the EN report card. Okay, now, completing and returning the APOR to the TPM is mandatory for every EN. And as per the EN TPA Part 3, Section B8B, reads, the EN shall provide an APOR to the TPM on an annual basis in a format pre-prescribed by Social Security. The APOR shall provide information on outcomes achieved by the EN with respect to services offered by the EN to beneficiaries, as well as information relating to TPA administration. We'll go over a little bit of the framework here. Just so that you know and you're aware, the APOR will be emailed on Friday, January 26th. That means that you will have 34 days to complete it and submit to the TPM by February 28, 2018. And your EN must only submit one APOR. If your APOR is submitted multiple times, just keep in mind only the first submission will be counted. And if your EN submits your APOR in error or by mistake, please send an email to ssaenapor@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. So I'll repeat that one more time, and we are going to put that in the chat. The email that you'll want to send to will be ssaenapor@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And you'll want to do this so that TPM can delete your submission and send a new survey link. Now, the TPM will be sending reminders to ENs that have not responded to the APOR each Monday until the submission deadline. And if you feel that you have received the reminder in error, please send an email to the APOR inbox. Now, good for you to know, very important for you to know, that it is imperative that your agency's APOR is completed in a timely manner. Failure to do so will constitute a violation of your EN's TPA and could result in the Social Security Administration limiting your agency's ability to assign tickets and to receive payments. And so I mentioned that on Friday, January 26th, you're going to receive an email from SSAEN apr@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. This email will indicate that you need to begin survey, and this is which is the APR questionnaire. And before clicking begin survey, what you'd want to do is you actually want to review the questions that are included in the APR. And these questions are available for you in the resource documents under the Information Center. Okay. So here we have survey instructions. When you first open the APR, this is the first page that you will see. The intro page includes instructions for completing the APR, and what we'll do is we'll take a moment right now. We'll review these instructions now. So the first one is review the resources for your assistance at the yourtickettowork.ssa.gov website. Number two, review the 40 APR questions. We highly recommend that you review the APR questions posted to the yourtickettowork.ssa.gov website prior to completing the actual APR. So the third, you want to prepare your responses. Prepare your responses after your review of the APR questions and prior to entering the actual APR questionnaire will allow you to research and go ahead and gather the data that you'll need to easily answer the questions on the APR. Four, you want to complete the APR. Once you have prepared your responses, enter the APR questionnaire as provided by the TPM via SurveyMonkey and record your responses. Number five, you want to submit those responses. So, again, each EN is allowed to submit one complete response. Use the frequently asked questions to assist you as you complete the APR. Now, if you have any questions, as I mentioned earlier, the email ssaenapr@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. When you send an email there, you want to, in your subject line, write APR assistance. So, again, any questions that you may have, please don't hesitate. Go ahead and send an email to ssaenapr@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov with the subject line APR assistance. Okay, I mentioned to you that there were 40 questions included on the APR, and those 40 questions are broken down into four sections. We have general questions, we have staffing questions, there's a section for ticket client-related questions, and there's also an EN service-related questions section. Now, under the general questions section, there are 17 questions. These questions seek information relating to ticket requirements for an employment network. And in this section, the EN business model is requested. Now, what we found in the past from previous responses is that there could be some confusion by the term business model and or how to properly respond to the question. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to go over the different models that I have here. So we actually have four different business models. There's a traditional EN, a consumer-directed services EN, an employer EN, and an administrative EN. I'll touch briefly on what each one is. The traditional EN is an EN that provides employment services and other support services directly to the ticket holder. The consumer-directed services is an EN that will actually reimburse the ticket holder for ticket-related services purchased by the ticket holder. An employer EN is one that primarily employs ticket holders from whom it has assigned tickets. And the last model here is the administrative EN. This is an EN that will serve as the EN of record for a network of service providers who combine their resources to provide services to ticket holders. So these are the four different business models that we have. Now, in addition to the business model, There are also questions relating to liability insurance, suitability, and the system for award management registration, which is SAM. So you can look for those in the general questions section. We also then have staffing questions. There are 8 staffing questions. And these questions seek information relating to the staffing at the EN and the number of staff for ticket and verification of PII training. So in this section, there is going to be a question that I want to point out, and it's in our FAQs, but I'll go ahead and point this out. The question is, how does the APR define full and part-time EN staff working on the ticket program as referred to in questions 18 and 19? And I'll do my best to summarize how you can do that. The answer is full-time staff working on the ticket program are defined as staff who are fully dedicated to the ticket program. And the part-time staff worker will be on the ticket program. They're defined as staff who work on the ticket program as well as other projects. So they're not dedicating all of their time to ticket. And there's also some information about the subcontractors that work with your EN. They are defined the same depending on the amount of time that they spend working on the ticket program. So, again, you'll find that on the FAQs, but I wanted to point that out for you. We also then, the other section is the ticket client-related questions. There are 5 ticket client-related questions which seek information regarding the ticket clients that the EN serves. For example, information regarding the number of ticket holders working full-time, average wage, and employment training are subjects of some of the questions. Again, there's 5 of those client-related questions. And in the EN service-related questions, there are 10. These questions will seek information regarding services provided by the EN to the ticket holders at all EN locations. Okay, so now, completing the survey. At this point, what you would be doing is you would want to click the Done button to submit the APR to TPM. Prior to hitting that Done, what you want to do is you want to ensure that you've actually printed each individual page to obtain a record of your responses. You can easily just click the previous button to go back without losing any of your answers. And remember, this needs to be submitted by February 28th to remain in compliance. Okay, so this concludes the part of the APR. And so for 2018, we want to talk about completing security awareness training. And just to be clear, the training is actually the completion of the form that we're going to discuss on this particular slide. I know when we think of training, we think there's a presentation, and we're doing basically what we're doing now. But this is very easy for you. All you'd have to do is read this, sign this, and that will constitute your training for this. Okay, so, again, as I mentioned, 2018, we're actually having you complete the security awareness training in conjunction with the APOR. So all EN staff must review and sign and keep a copy of the form on file at your EN location. Now, in addition to signing the individual forms to be kept on site, the EN will have a representative that must complete a copy of the SSA 222 and the attached addendum form that lists all staff who have completed the form for your EN. So as you can see, we're talking about we have 2 things going on here. We have the actual SSA 222 that will be completed by each individual, and then we've created this addendum for you so that you can add names and submit that to us. So, again, the single form signed by the EN representative and the addendum must be submitted to enservice@ssa.gov in 1 email, and this should also be completed by Wednesday, February 28, 2018. That form that I'm referring to, the SSA 222 and the 222 addendum is available at yourticketsworth.ssa.gov in the Information Center under Forms. Good for you to know, in addition to this training, we have online APR resources for you. What you want to do is you want to visit the resource documents page under the Information Center to access the APR questions, FAQs, and today's PowerPoint. All right, so what, in summary, what we've done today, now that we've reviewed and completed this training, you should be able to recognize your responsibilities regarding APOR. You'll be able to accurately and completely answer each question on the report before submitting it, and you'll be able to complete the questionnaire using SurveyMonkey. Okay, so that's what I have for you today. What we'll do is we'll take this time, we'll go ahead and open up the line for any questions. Please be sure, we want to be sensitive to everyone's time. We want to make sure that the questions asked during this Q&A are strictly regarding the APOR for today and any questions you may have about the security awareness training. If you can help us out with that, Melissa.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're on a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, for any questions at this time, please press star 1 now.
Thank you, Melissa.
And we do have a few questions in the queue. Our first question All right. is from Judy Sanderson from GSIL.
Hi, Judy. How are you today?
I'm fine. I was on the call on Tuesday, and then I thought of a couple other questions, so I called in today, too. On the addendum form for the 222, I mean, many of us have more people than are going to fit on a one-page addendum. So obviously, we're just going to do multiple addendum sheets. Do you want us to sign and date and phone number and all that at the bottom of every single page or just the last one in the bunch?
This is Kara from Social Security. You can do just the one. We just need to make sure that the signatory authority or the suitability contact person is agreeing to it, basically.
Right. Okay. And then the other question I had was, I know there were lots of questions about when to get those signatures, and some of us had already started before February, obviously. Does it make any difference? For example, I've got 31 people. Only four of whom have portal access. So does it make any difference as to who should not sign it before February 1st, or is it just everybody needs to sign it from February 1st on?
Everybody needs to sign it.
Okay. I was hoping that would help me out. All right. Thank you. That was it for me. Thank you.
Good try, Judy.
Yeah,
I did try. I really tried. Thank you. And that was it for me.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for joining us today.
No problem.
Thank you. And our next question will come from Lynette O'Halloran from Rappahannock Goodwill Industries.
Hi. The PowerPoint went too quick. Where do I go to get the PowerPoint for today and the last? I know it's an Information Center.
You want to visit. So if you go to the resource documents, which is under the Information Center, you should be able to find that.
Okay, so you go to resource documents?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch your name at the beginning. What was your name again?
Lynette.
Okay, got it.
All right. Okay, so I see where they put that back up there. Can we leave that up there for a few minutes?
No problem.
Okay. I have one more question. To get the SSA-222 form, I'm a little confused on where I get that.
Okay. We're going to the
ssa.gov.
It's actually available at yourticketsworth.ssa.gov in the Information Center. under Forms.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
No worries. We're here to help out. That's quite all right. It gives me time to take a drink of water.
Okay. So the 22A form, or sorry, 222 form, what exactly do I do with that and what is required of me before I submit that? I have to email that back, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Or
so
you email it to me. I'm sorry.
No, well, this SSA 222 form is where you're completing your security awareness training. So you're going to read the form, and you're going to sign it, and all the additional information that's asked of you on that form. This is going to satisfy and meet that you're trained on the security awareness. So depending on how many individuals you have in your office, everyone needs to complete this particular form. So as
okay.
you know, we've discussed two separate forms. There's this actual SSA 222 form. Everyone must complete, and you will keep that on file. And then we're going to ask a representative from your organization to complete the SSA 222 addendum. And you will fill out those names. On that form, you'll see that there's lines for you to fill out names of all of the individuals that you have that completed the SSA 222 form. Did that help?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Did that help?
You went away. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Now, once we've completed that, do we email it, mail it, or? I know
you're
you said one stays in the office.
Right. The addendum, if you have more than one individual signing the form, you're going to send the addendum in to enservice@ssa.gov.
Okay. All right. And please keep this up for a little bit. And that's all the questions I have. I appreciate your patience.
Oh, no worries. We appreciate you joining us today. And, again, if you have any questions, you do have the inbox where you can submit any questions. Okay, Lynette?
Thanks so much. Now, disconnect *2.
Actually, this is the operator. I will go ahead and remove you from the queue if you're all finished with your questions today.
I'm finished with my questions, but I'd still like to listen.
Okay, no problem at all.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Melissa.
Okay. Sure. And we have another person in the queue, Cam Lacanon from Goodwill.
Oh, hi. Oh,
I missed the name. I'm sorry. Who's asking us a question today?
My name is Kamala Kanin, and I'm from
Goodwill. Oh, right. How are you? All right.
I'm doing good. The first part of the question is just a follow-up question to what Lennon asked. So the way I understand it is I would have an individual Form 22 for every individual who has cleared EN suitability, has been trained, and that would be on our file. And then the addendum is a name. So I'm just going to give you an example. If I had three individuals who have cleared EN suitability, I will have a form for each one of them. And then on the addendum as well, we would have those three names and then just one person sign off saying all three have been reviewed. And when we email it, we're emailing you the addendum and then individual files for each of those staff members on the addendum.
I think you were good until when you're emailing, how many pieces of paper are you emailing? I want to make sure I heard that correctly. Are you emailing more than one?
We're only emailing you the addendum, right?
Perfect. There you go.
Okay, perfect. So that's one. And then the second question I have, and I think this is something that I've been grappling with a little bit, to make sure that our trainings are a whole lot more cohesive and more repetitive, if you will. We've had the advantage of being trained a few years ago very consistently on a monthly basis. And I know it's outside of the APOR, but really just making sure that I'm putting in my request because from time to time when we come out to the website to pull down PDFs and PowerPoint documents, to provide staff training on. There are some documents that need to be updated or are not available. So if there are some resources that can also be provided to us when you're reviewing APORs to assist ENs in ensuring that their staff has the best training possible, we would truly appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. I think the best resource with that would be EN operations. We have an inbox that you can send and request for any type of training that you may need. But when you speak specifically APOR at this time of year, we do have everything that we're covering here with all the additional resources available for you on our website.
Thank you.
And thank you. I appreciate you wanting to be prepared.
I am done with my question. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the next person in the queue. Next, we have a question from C. Jeffrey, Department of Contractors.
How are you doing today?
All right, Mr. Jeffries, how about you?
Okay, a little nervous. This always gets to me every year, and I've been doing it for a long time, but it still gets to me.
Well, we're here for you.
Good, good, good. That's great. With the SSA 222 form, since it's just me, I don't have to worry about sending the addendum, you know, the other form? It's just me?
The addendum? No, sir.
Addendum?
No.
Okay, it's just me, so just fill out that form only and disregard the other form. Okay, very good. My next question, this one has been troubling me for quite a while because I've already had the question printed out. On 26, where it says ticket clients related questions, what is the average number of months? You only want to know the average, the new ticket holders that were assigned in 2017. You know, from
that's
January
correct.
2007. Okay. So you don't, that's actually everything on the APOR is only about new ticket holders from 2017. January 2017 to December 2017, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. And I got
I think you're you're nervous for nothing. I think you can come help us with the training next year.
I wish. Okay. Now, number 27, this is the last question. So it's the same. So only my ticket holders gross from 2017, January. Now, what about the e-pay? Do I need to include the e-pay also? You know, like the e-pay that they put in the accounts also? That's all part of the gross as far as the gross wages per month.
I would say yes, because that's all of it. That's all the income that you're receiving. So, yes, all
okay.
of it.
Okay. Okay, so I did count more than 36, but the example was 36. But what I'm trying to also understand is that, let's see here, here's whole number, do not include commas. Okay, all right, I think I got that now then. I think that should do it.
Okay, but
I'll
for now. You know, it's okay, but you know we have the inbox. Any specific questions, you go ahead and send the questions over, okay?
I need to get that again. I heard you, but I was writing while you were giving great answers to other people. But I definitely need that box.
Okay. No worries. SSAEN.
APOR at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov?
Yes, you took it right out of my mouth. All right.
Oh, okay, I'm just trying to help. Okay,
and
well, thank you. This is a great program. This is a great training that you all offer, so we really appreciate it.
You're too kind. Thank you for joining us today.
Okay, thank you. That's it. That's my questions.
All right.
Okay.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing *2. Our next question will come from Odell Tiller, Orange Grove Center.
Hi, Mr. Tiller.
Yes, hi. This is Barbara. I'm here with Odell Tiller. I have a question
Barbara.
On the business model. Would you go over the consumer business model again?
I sure can. Just give me a moment to pull that up from my resources here. Okay, so the Consumer Directed Services is an EN that reimburses the ticket holder for ticket-related services purchased by the ticket holder.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And next we have a question from Bertha Street in Power, Tennessee.
Hello to everyone.
Hello.
Okay. I was not confused until today, and I'm confused on the question to ask. I have my notes here from yesterday.
Okay.
What I'm wondering is where to send what? That's what I got confused on today. I think maybe I should not have called in. I don't know.
It's okay. We'll figure it out together.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate you all. The 222 form goes to where?
EN service at SSA.gov.
Okay, that's what I have in my notes. Okay, thank you. Now, this, I have a website here for some reason. The SSAENAPOR at Your Ticket to Work. I can't read my own writing.
Your Ticket to Work at
SSA.gov. Why do I have that?
You have that in case you have any questions about the APOR. And that's the email address that you would use to submit the questions to. And if it's the question, you want to make sure in your subject line, you put APOR assistance.
Okay, subject line, APOR, APOR assistance. Gotcha.
There you go. Sounds like you took good notes yesterday.
Yeah, but today confused me. But I got it now. Thanks, guys. I appreciate everyone.
No worries. Thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And next, we have a follow-up question from Judy Sanderson from GSIL.
Hi, just me again. A couple questions came up while I was listening to some of the other answers. When you were talking to the individual who was saying they were going to send in so many pieces of paper for the Form 222, it sounded like she was only going to send in one piece of paper, the addendum, but she wasn't going to send – you were telling her not to send in her Form 222. Am I – misunderstanding. I'm the suitability contact, so I was thinking I'm going to send in the form, the addendum, and then I'm also going to send in my form 222 with it. Is that correct or am I wrong?
Yes. So then
I
would apologize if I misled from answering previously. So the EN representative must have their own SSA 222.
And you probably... Yeah, you probably said that, and I just didn't hear it right. And then the question about which data would be included in this year's APOR, my understanding is that any ticket holder that's assigned that is working in 2017, the calendar year 2017, gets included in the data irregardless of when they actually assign their ticket. Is that correct?
Yes, Judy, that is correct. I just caution people that sometimes the assignment dates do cross. But, yes, you are correct. If they were assigned as of December 31st, 2017.
Okay, but say they were assigned in 2012, but they're still in the program and working in 2017, then I still include their data.
Yes, and if you are still providing services and actively,
Right. Okay. And then one other question came up. On Tuesday, it was mentioned that the signatory authority was supposed to do the Form 222. In my case, the signatory authority does not have anything to do with the day-to-day programming. We're part of a larger agency that does a lot of other things, and he does not have anything to do with the day-to-day operations of the program, has no access to ticket information. So I have never done a Form 222 for him.
Judy,
do I need to do one this year?
This is Kara from Social Security. Let me clarify a couple things. The people who need to fill out the 222s are the people who are working directly on the ticket program.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if you're in the portal or not in the portal. Everyone working on the ticket program has to fill out that form. The ENs can keep those on site. We will be checking to make sure they're done, like during a site visit or random reviews. So we do expect you guys to keep those on site. In lieu of sending those in individually right now, we said the company can send in the addendum form. That means for everybody. The signatory authority doesn't have to send it in. The suitability contact person doesn't have to send it in. We just need that addendum form signed by either the signatory authority or the suitability contact. But if you are a one-person organization, which many are, it's probably easier for you to just send in the 222 form.
Okay, and I understand all that, but I'm still back to the fact I have never had our signatory authority do the form 222 in the past because he has
they're not working on the program directory, they're a figurehead, let's say, like our commissioner, you know, she doesn't work with me on a day-to-day basis, or we have some ENs that are part of like a school board, you know, a school system and the board of ed, you know, person is at. Like that I get, but your signatory authority or your suitability contact has to sign the form.
Right, and that would be me.
You know, to validate that we have these on file because they're the ones responsible.
Okay. Yep, that's okay. Then I'm all set. I promise I won't ask any more questions. Thank you.
Okay, Julie, that's what we're here for.
Okay.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. And next, our question comes from Virginia Juana Guerrera from the ARC of San Francisco.
Hello.
Hi, Virginia.
Hi. Hello. I have a question in regards to the survey. In question number 26, it asks about the average number of months between the start of services and obtaining employment. So a lot of our clients are referred by the Department of Rehabilitation. So a lot of times they hold a ticket and they don't release the ticket until maybe a year after the employment. So we could have gotten a client job in January, but the ticket won't be released to us and won't be assigned to us until a year later. So how do I find out the average month? It would be like a negative number of months. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I would just say provide that information for the tickets that you do have information for.
Okay.
And then for the ones that have not been released or they're retroactively released, just do not include those in that calculation.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's all I have.
And next we have a question from Howard Schwartz.
Yes, I am trying to find the actual APOR report. I have a list of questions, but it says at the top, this is not the report to be submitted to SSA. Where do I get the APOR report that is to be submitted?
Hi, Howard. How are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, the reason you can't find that, yes, we haven't sent it out yet. We're going to send this out on Friday, January 26th. You'll receive an email with the link for the SurveyMonkey for you to begin your questionnaire.
Oh, so I wasn't going crazy trying to find it then, huh?
No, not today, not yet.
Okay, thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks for joining us today.
Right.
And next we have a question from Vivian Hendricks from Vivian C. Hendricks & Associates.
Hello, Vivian.
Hi, Adele. How are you?
Wonderful. Good to hear you. How can we help you today?
Well, Mr. Jeffrey came up with a question that I had not thought about, and it involves e-pay. And I've gotten paid for this, in fact, it was last December, was someone that is unassigned. I know, you know, they're no longer assigned to me, but I got paid for when they did work. How do I report that the person is not assigned to me anymore, but I did get paid for June, July, and August? Do I have to go back and count every, you know, I don't know. Tell me. Help me.
Were they assigned to you in the month of December?
No. December of what? Of last month, you mean? No, they were unassigned to me back in April or May. But in December I received from on ePay earnings, you know, payment for May, I think it's April, May, and June. How do I count that person?
You wouldn't, and then use the claim month.
And that's when the claim months come.
Yeah. And so you would include it, and then you would count those claim months in that calculation. In the FAQ, there's a particular FAQ for this question that shows you how to calculate that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And if you have any questions, I can help you with that, and you can just email the box.
All right. Thank you for that, too.
You are welcome.
Thanks, Vivian.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one if you would like to ask any questions at this time. And we do have a follow-up from C. Jeffrey, Department of Contractors.
Yes, I'm back again.
All right, Mr. Jeffrey.
Okay, 26 and 27 is the only issues I have in this ATOR. Okay, I just want you to know that. So you may hear from me again, but anyway, here's the question. On 26, I have clients that is not cooperative in giving me information as far as employment. Okay. And I put out letters, emails, and I do a variety of things to see if I can get that information. What if I can't get that information as far as the start of their obtaining employment? Or when they obtain employment, some of them are not being cooperative.
Okay. I think you want to report as best as possible. I don't know if maybe Social Security would have a more definitive answer regarding that.
Okay. Because sometimes some of them are not a lot of my clients are cooperative, but you get a few every now and then that, you know, you know, they change numbers or whatever else, and they just, you know, they're on the run. I call them MIA, missing in action.
Okay, just make sure you document all your attempts to reach out to them.
Okay, all right. And then one more quick question, too. I got kind of confused with the answer of, I thought that when someone had mentioned they may have assigned someone in 2012 and they just actually started receiving a claim in 2017, I need to count from the start of them starting the service, you know, getting a ticket, joining the service, to the time that they become employed. So I need to count those numbers and put that in the equation, correct? Okay, instead of me thinking that they had to start in 2017 and got employment in 2017. I had it wrong, right?
Yep, you're correct. And same as the last caller, if you have any questions, we can walk you through it through the inbox.
Oh, okay, through the inbox. Okay.
Yep.
All right, thank you. That should do it, then. I'm good.
Thank you, Ms. Jeffrey.
You're welcome.
And next we have a follow-up from Odell Tiller from Orange Grove Center.
Hello, how are you today?
All right, Mr. Tiller.
My question is, in between hiring staff and checking my beneficiary's files, I found that a person signed the IWP in August, but was never that plan was never assigned to us as an EN, and they still not assigned to anyone. Is it too late, or should we go ahead and assign the ticket for August, or how do that work? We have checked us. We thought she was already assigned to us, but I found out she wasn't.
If you go ahead and email the APOR inbox, we can take care of that for you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And as a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one for any questions at this time. And we do have a question from Stacy Clark, Service Source.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Stacy. We can hear you.
Hi. Okay, great. Sorry. I just have a quick question about this training call. I was sadly delayed in a meeting, and I just got on about 3:40, so I missed the whole beginning. Is there going to be another one of these calls at all going forward or no?
This was the second offering, but good to know we'll have the recording available on our website for you.
Oh, good. Okay. I can go listen to that on my own time. Okay. Just checking. Yeah, I wasn't able to make the first one, and today I was hoping, but my meeting ran over. Okay. Thank you. I will go online and listen to that.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, we have no further questions in the queue.
Okay. Again, I'd like to thank everyone for taking time today and helping us out and attending training. A few more reminders, just make sure if you have any questions, you want to send that to ssaenapr@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And we have all of this information available for you on our website as well. Again, thanks again for joining us and have a great rest of the day. Happy APOR.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation.